Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The 454th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Bet365. Bet365 is offering new users a $1,000 risk-free bet. Sign up today at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/bet365. We're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month. Start making smarter bets today.
Howdy ho, Degenerinos. Welcome to episode 454 of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. This one goes out to Captain, one of our friends in the Discord. He sent, if you're watching on YouTube, MMA Gambling Podcast on YouTube, you'll see Gumby has a new hat. You won't know it's a new hat, but he has a new hat. And it was courtesy of Captain, who creepily knew what head size Gumby was as well. So don't know how he figured that out. He claims he guessed, but I don't know. So this goes out to Captain. We'll talk more about Gumby's hat very, very shortly. I'm one of your hosts for this year program, Jeff Chalks Fox. Only hit one dog last night, so Chalks is still the nickname. I'm taking big swings on dogs, just not hitting very many. So it was a night last night. I want to say it was a bad night, but it wasn't a horrible night for my picks. It was an exciting night of fights, stuff like that. So we're going to recap UFC Vegas 82, a.k.a. UFC Fight Night Allen versus Craig. It was MMA, so some weird things happened. Let's bring in the man I was just speaking of, Daniel Gumby Reeland. I'm going to ask him this question. Gumby, do you like submissions?
I do. I love submissions. So it was a
last
good
night
for
was
that.
All about it.
Yeah, yep. I will. I'll ask you. You know, you said only one dog hit and weird things happened. Was the weirdest thing that happened the dog that you hit?
let me see. I can't even remember which dog I hit. No, that wasn't weird. That was only +110. That wasn't weird.
No, but I mean in the method of him winning. You know, just the fact that he went from being like squished on the mat and being beat up, and then suddenly was like just stood up and was like, "Here's a choke."
I have faith in Yo Anderson Brito, so no, it was not a surprise. I am not surprised by my performance. Well, let's talk about your hat first, since I hinted at it. Is that rainbow bacon on your hat? What is
it's
that?
It's not rainbow bacon. I think that's the fat in the bacon.
Oh, it actually is bacon. I was joking about bacon. It really is bacon.
Yeah. And if you look in the bacon, like in the fat grooves in there, it actually says Iron Pigs, which is the same team I was wearing. Yeah, it's Iron Pigs again. The same team I was wearing last week. And apparently Captain is from that area. I thought I could use a bacon hat, and I could, and it's exactly my size, 7 3/8. If anybody else is wondering,
Christmas is coming, everyone. 7 3/8, and I know where Gumby lives as well, so you can drop it off personally if you like. I'll let you know the address.
Nope, can't do that. Now,
Gumby was flexing in the Discord last night, saying if Paul Craig had won, it would have been your greatest gambling night of all time. Paul Craig did not win. So where does last night
bad. Rank? still yep. really good. Jekka Seregi wound up being a big one. I know I picked Lucas Alexander on our show, but if you were in the Discord, by the way, be in the Discord because you get gems dropped like this. I saw the number post on Jekka Seregi by knockout at 11-1, and I was like, there ain't no way that's an 11-1 odds. So there were some guys in the Discord who had some free bets floating around from various sports books. And I said, yo, you could do a lot worse than Jekka Seregi by knockout. So there was a slew of us on 11-1 Jekka Seregi by KO.
Nice. You had like a $50 free bet or something you're going to use on it, didn't you?
I did indeed, and may have possibly gone a little further than that, too. So it was a very, very nice night.
And he still showed up to record the show this morning. Amazing. NBA went well for you as well. Did you hit any of your first field goal props that you do every day?
Oh, 2 out of 3.
No way.
Yeah, Jalen Brunson and Giannis Antetokounmpo both got their first buckets yesterday, too. 5-1 and 3.5-1.
You're on a little bit of a slump, so that's good, right? You're back winning again.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm still... You guys should go read those articles. There's one up right now for the 19th. I think I'm up 30-something units in November, so not that bad of a slump.
No, that's almost better than the sheet, the vaunted sheet that we hear about in our Discord. So, all right, let's talk about UFC Fight Night. Allen versus Craig, a.k.a. UFC Vegas 82. Guess it was a pretty good event overall. A lot of finishes, a lot of submissions, a lot of rear naked chokes. So let's just jump right into it. It was in the UFC Apex, so I don't have any attendance or gate or any of that jazz. But in the main event, Brendan Allen was present. He was in attendance. He took care of Paul Craig's submission rear naked choke 38 seconds into the third round. We were both in on Craig. Someone got mad. Oh, who cares about Reddit people? But someone got mad that I say that in my preview that Allen relies on his grappling. And what did Allen do last night? He relied on his grappling to win the fight. That this guy was mad because he dropped Silva and then submitted him, which sometimes Brendan Allen does that, but often, more often than not, he takes a person down and submits him. So Paul Craig, I don't know. It's 2023, almost 2024. I don't think I've said this before, but you know, your whole plan doing jiu-jitsu off your back probably doesn't work at this level of MMA anymore. Maybe that's just my take. Maybe it's a wrong take, but Brendan Allen submitted him rear naked choke. Go ahead, Gumby.
Yeah, I'm having a really tough time with Paul Craig in that, like, it just seems like, I don't know if what we should take out of this fight / the Andre Muniz fight. Like, should we take that Andre Muniz is just like an absolute shell of the fighter we thought he was? Should we take that Brendan Allen is really, really freaking good? Because I know that's some people's take, right? That Brendan Allen is phenomenal. And clearly he was better than I thought he was, or Paul Craig was worse than I thought he was. But I don't know how good he is or whether or not he was just a bad style matchup for Craig. I mean, like up front, I thought Craig was going to have a wrestling advantage. I thought Craig could get his hands going because Craig against Andre Muniz looked great. And I was hoping it was the change to middleweight that made it all look great. I mean, I attributed all that. I was wrong. And I'm having a tough time coming to the conclusion of, is it just that Muniz is that bad and I should not have given Craig that much credit? Or is Brendan Allen just like such a jump from there?
Andre Muniz. Andre Muniz is at home going, what did I do wrong? Why is Gumby crapping on me? I didn't even fight last night.
He got wrestled by Paul Craig.
Yeah. Brendan Allen's good. Brendan Allen hasn't beaten anyone who's good yet. That's the thing. He's made it to this level by really not beating anyone very good. Like Paul Craig is his best win. So take that for what it is. Yeah.
We don't even know how good of a win that is.
I'm checking the performance rankings I do on my Substack, moneymma.substack.com. Brendan Allen's moved up to number 5, but that's because he's finishing people with pretty good records, but he really has not beat anyone good yet. Like I'm saying, so it's hard. I don't want to take away anything from his performances, but has he really been tested? He seems to be looking better every fight, but
yeah, I wasn't sure of what you were saying there about like he hasn't beat anybody better than Paul Craig, because I think mentally I assumed he had, and now I'm looking back at his record and you're right, like his best win before this might have been Jacob Malkin. Yeah, Jacob Melkin probably, unless you want to count Kevin Holland at middleweight like a million years ago.
Yeah.
Like that was like his UFC debut, but yeah, maybe Kevin Holland, maybe Jacob Melkin, but you're right. It's kind of a weird record. So again, it just leaves me in this weird limbo where I don't know how good either of these two guys are. Clearly underestimated Allen and or overestimated Craig in a way that made it look very silly to have picked him, but still can't quite put my finger on it. Can't quite tell. Like, what would he do against Jared Cannonier? Do you think he would beat Jared Cannonier?
No, I don't.
Yeah,
think
I don't
so.
Really either. Or like Marvin Vettori. What chance do you give him against Marvin Vettori?
More than Cannonier, obviously, but yeah, it's still, I would probably make him the underdog, probably a slight underdog for that fight.
And so like any of the guys I'm thinking of in like, you know, the top five or six, I don't think I would put Allen in front of any of them. So it's like a weird circumstance where like undeniably he's on a great run with tons of finishes and he's performing better than we always expect him to. But like our expectations seem not to be changing, which is it's a weird position to be in.
Yeah. Maybe we're just Brendan Allen haters. Have you ever thought of that? Perhaps we could be secretly.
It's very possible.
Anyhow, he's good fighter, fun fighter. He gets hit too much. That's one of the issues. It's not an issue last night because it's Paul Craig, but that's an issue that would happen if he fought Jared Cannonier. You don't want to get hit too often. So that would probably be an issue with him, but we'll see who he gets next. Interesting to see. Who would you book him with next?
I mean, I think you got to put him with one of those top tier guys with a winning streak like this. I just saw DeLizzi got booked for February. I'm trying to remember who they booked him with. So like he's out of the question, but I think like Marvin Vettori makes sense. Like nobody's begging to see another Marvin Vettori title shot. So like he's the right guy to like turn away a prospect or let a prospect vault off of him.
Yep. That's true. All right. Let's make it happen, people. Let's make it happen. Let's make these ad reads happen. Bet365. We're brought to you by Bet365. Bet365 is the world's favorite sports book, trusted by over 88 million players worldwide. Props, sides, totals, live betting, Bet365 has you covered. And if you like boosts, you're going to love Bet365, like a 30% profit boost on your NFL same game parlay. Plus, they even have an early payout offer if your team goes up 17 points. Sign up today and choose from two bonus offers, either $1,000 no sweat bet or bet $5, get $150 in bonus bets. You can't lose with either of those. It's a win-win proposition. Just head to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/bet365. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com /bet365, or use the sign-up link in our show bio. Even easier. You can just click away that way. All of our lines on the podcast are coming from Bet365 now. Is there a Bet365 bet that you like going forward, Gumby? Did you know I was going to ask you that?
I didn't know you were going to ask me that. Pick the Chiefs money line on Monday night. How about that?
All right. Who are they playing again?
The Eagles.
Oh, well, there you go. That's why Gumby does not like the Eagles. So take that with a grain of salt, people. Problem gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Okay. We're going to jump into our recap. These recap episodes are always lengthy. Length. Is it lengthy or lengthy? It's lengthy with no L, right?
Lengthy. Yes.
Yeah. Lengthy. He's very confident. All right. Co-main event. This man was very confident, or makes me confident picking him going forward. Michael Morales, probably the toughest test of his career, or definitely toughest test of his career. And he passed it with flying colors. Just a really solid, technical, smart performance with the striking. He took care of Jake Matthews, 30-27, 29-28, 29-28. We both had Morales at minus 275.
I think the only thing making us not more hyped on Michael Morales is like he's in the stage of prospectum where we all kind of expect him to just steamroll opponents, right? Like when we saw Shavkat Rachmanov make his run up the welterweight rankings, like at this stage, he was just blasting people right away. Michael Morales already has that like technical approach that you need when you're fighting people who are at the very top of the division, but he's doing it with Jake Matthews, which I think is giving some people like pause on him as a prospect, but he did do everything he needed to. Would have liked the foot on the gas a little bit more, but like, yeah, Michael Morales is the real deal.
Jake Matthews has been knocked out one time in 26 fights or 26 fights now. So it's not like he is a pushover. So thoughts on the youngster, Michael Morales, thoughts on who you would like to see him fight next? Mr. Booker.
I'm trying to think of the bottom of that division, but like he's got to fight like the Jeff Neals of the world now. I feel like, you know, like the Vicente Luques, you know, like the type of people they're booking Ian Garry with or were like a fight ago, because like he's now entering the bottom of the top 15. You don't want to run against him against another young prospect. So like, yeah, let's say Jeff Neal.
All right. Book it. Speaking of young prospects, maybe this kid is actually going to be okay after all. He's not a kid. He's having a baby. That's crazy. Chase Hooper. He's married and he's having a baby. He's a full grown man now at lightweight. Chase Hooper took care of Jordan Leavitt. I should have leaved him alone and not picked him and gone with Hooper, but I didn't. I thought Leavitt would be able to handle him. Turned into a grappling. It was basically the whole thing was a grappling fight. Hooper ended up, he's slick on the ground. That's one thing the boy does have. 258 in the first round, got himself a rear naked choke. Gumby had Hooper at minus 225.
Yeah, I think he would have won this fight on the feet too. I think he's a better boxer, and I think Leavitt knew that. That's why Leavitt was just trying to get to the ground with him as quickly as possible. Leavitt only seemed to have an advantage in the wrestling, and even then he like couldn't hold the top position because of sweeps and submission attempts and stuff like that. Hooper looked legit on the mat. I think he found his weight class. 155 seems it. Like he's grown into it. He seems to be figuring it out. Want to see more of him boxing because he looked good last time. But I'm sure we'll see him against somebody who can box a little bit more than Leavitt can next time.
His first two fight winning streak in the UFC, three of his last four have been wins. So perhaps, and two of them were finishes. So perhaps at 24, Chase Hooper is ready to burst onto the scene officially now. Bantamweights, Peyton Talbot had some rough patches with, they were calling Nick, I thought it was Aguiar, but they were calling him Aguirre or something, right?
Aguirre.
Real. Aguirre. Mark Aguirre, former Detroit Piston. Anyway, Nick, Slick Nick wasn't so slick. He got himself submitted. He's supposed to be the ground whiz, but got himself submitted. Rear naked choke, 58 seconds into the third round. Talbot got himself grappled in the first round, but whatever Nick's last name is pronounced, got himself kind of gassed out. And then the youngster took care of him. Minus 800 for Peyton Talbot.
Yeah, Talbot, he did, you know, wind up adding more questions than he did answers in this one, because now I'm wondering if his takedown defense just sucks, because it held up in rounds two and three, and some people have pointed to, oh, you know, look at how many takedowns he stuffed over his career. But like most of those takedowns he stuffed from Aguirre were in the second and third round, when Aguirre was clearly without gas, like he was out. So it does really pose the question, is like, what does Peyton Talbot have going forward? His striking is clearly right there where it needs to be for a prospect of his development. But he looked pretty rough in the wrestling department to start that fight. So I've got questions.
Yep, we got questions. Hopefully he will answer it over the next few fights and we don't lose any money on him in the meantime. Women's strawweights, our girl is back. Amanda Hibas. This was the highlight of the night. TKO spinning wheel kick and punches over Luana Pinheiro, 353 into the third round. Pinheiro's tough. She did not go down with that square in the face spinning wheel kick. It took follow-up punches to finish her off. Hibas is tough as well. She gets hit too much. It's a problem for her. Probably going to limit her ceiling here, because she does get hit a lot and she can't always, you know, come back and pull the fight up. But she's got the heart, she's got the toughness, she's got the gas tank, and obviously she's got some explosive finishing power here, especially at strawweight. We had Hibas at minus 250, and then she gave a delightful speech. She only freaked out a couple times during her post-fight interview, so it was a tame night for her.
It was a really good one. I love Amanda Hibas speeches. I'll also say this, a lot of people were like, perhaps she has knockout power, or perhaps she just hit her with something kind of wild. I think she was hurting her the whole time. She had a couple of those spinning back kicks to the body. And if you look at the freeze frame, which I know you posted in our Discord, when she hits Pinheiro with that spinning back kick to the face, Pinheiro's hands are like down on her side And I think it was because she was trying to block the spinning back kick to the body, which had hurt her at least once, probably twice. So like it, she kind of set it up beautifully by going to the body a couple of times and then going up top. And, you know, I think the fact that she could hurt her regularly bodes well for her at strawweight. I think we always said we liked her better at strawweight. And so, like, it's good to see her back there. She pretty much put everybody on notice that she's back at strawweight and going to be dangerous.
Yep, definitely dangerous. And it wasn't a bad performance by Pinheiro at all. She's a little wild with her striking, but dangerous, obviously, with her striking, but and also super tough. So I don't think it was a bad performance by her at all.
No, I don't think so. And what we said about her beforehand was true. She puts together blitzes, which can be really dangerous for somebody who gets hit a lot, like Amanda Ribas, but Ribas is tough. So, you know, credit her on that one.
She definitely is. All right. The opener. Boy, I got this one wrong. I'm not sure if you expected him to, I don't know, we'll let Gumby speak for himself, but Mek Tepek Orlbay at welterweight. I said his name wrong, I'm sure. Again, Uros Medic, submission, neck crank, 4-12 into the second round. He just dominated that fight. Medic probably was quite happy to tap out there because the Orlbay dominated in a short notice UFC debut at minus 170. I was going to say to Gumby, I don't know if you're expecting him to out-grapple Medic or not, but I see you were. Okay, I see why you picked him based on who he had in his corner. I'm like, oh, Gumby picked him because he's the alpha male guy. That's why.
You know, and you know, I'm not like team alpha male on every single pick, but like he's different. You know what I mean? Like he is incredible. And yeah, the announcers kept hyping him up like he was a striker. And don't get me wrong, he's got some knockout and TKO wins, but most of those knockout or TKO wins are ground and pound wins. And then in addition to that, like, yes, he did win by the uppercut last time, but he's a wrestler and he's an incredible wrestler at that. And it'll clearly working with alpha male. It's not just like he's got a good Kyrgyzstani base for wrestling and like didn't add anything. He's clearly adding things too. That dude is dangerous. And he's going to go down a weight class next time he says, which, he says he's going to be a lightweight next time. And that's what he's doing to welterweight. So, I'm here for it.
Yeah. I guess he was a little undersized. Like Medic was a bit bigger than him last night. So, okay. If he wants to cut another 15 pounds, go right ahead.
Yeah, I don't love the idea of him. No. Because I think his gas tank is part of what's great about him, right? It's like he was just motoring Medic looked exhausted, and he was still going. So, and some of that was probably his will was breaking as well. But, like, you know, I kind of wish he'd stay at 70 and just see what happens.
Best hat of the night, Orlbay or Brendan Allen?
Orlbay.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Allen looks goofy, which is fine. But yeah, goofy hat. All right. Gumby killed it. I guess the person that commented LOL on our YouTube video with our main card picks was not LOLing at Gumby because he went 5-1 on the main card picks. So he was not. I think he was after me.
I hit my prop of the week there, too. You missed that.
Yes. We haven't got to that yet. Stop bragging. I went 3-3. So yeah, he LOL'd on my Reddit, my Reddit column I posted to. So it's obviously me. I'm the target for that joker. Let's tell you about something that's not a joke. That would be Underdog, right? Gumby, is that what graphics coming up on the screen here? Is it Underdog? It is Underdog Fantasy. There it is. Underdog Fantasy. Let me tell you what I'm going to tell you about them, even though I should have it memorized because I love me some Underdog Fantasy. Gumby and I write Underdog NBA articles every day on sportsgamblingpodcast.com. We swap back and forth. We should check who's doing better, the two of us. But anyhow, we give you Underdog Fantasy NBA picks, but they got every sport. Underdog Fantasy has a way to play alongside your favorite fantasy players all season long. NFL, NBA, NHL, college basketball, and college football. Simply pick higher or lower on your favorite players, fantasy stats, and cash in. Do you have an Underdog pick and play, Gumby, for today's show? It could be any sport because you're a master of all.
I am a master of all sports. I will say, let's see, the Sunday night football game this week, which should be happening by the time that you get here, this in your ears, is Minnesota and Denver. I'm going to take, let's go with Joshua Dobbs higher than 1.5 passing touchdowns. And that's one of their famed scorchers. So you're even going to get a little bit of bonus if you throw that one in there. Dobbs to throw 2 touchdowns tonight.
Fantastic. Watch along, make your picks, and or make Gumby's picks that he told you to make, and maybe make a little cash over at Underdog's mobile app or website, underdogfantasy.com. When you sign up with the promo code SGPN, Underdog will double your first deposit of up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code SGPN. And Hall of Fame bets. We are brought to you by them as well. Win bigger by betting smarter this NFL season with Hall of Fame bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NFL, NBA, MLB, and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame bets' revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame bets app or visit hofbets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame bets. All right.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Was there some winning going on in the prelims? There was. Main event of the prelims. Featherweight, Joe Anderson, Brito, ninja choked Jonathan Pierce. 354 into the second round. As Gumby said, this one just came out of the blue. Pierce was had just trash talked him a few moments before that, told him to get up and do something about it in his nice southern accent, which added to the flavor. Yep. So Brito got himself to his feet. They were still in the clinch, and he snuck in a ninja choke. And Pierce's face after that got put on, like, oh, he's got him here. Pierce did not enjoy that very much. This was a big win, biggest win of Brito's career. I know I'm saying things like that a lot this show, but plus 110, Pierce was on a roll here. This was a big win for the youngster Brito.
Yeah, and you know, we said on the show prior, and I had Pierce, so I'm wrong about this one, but we said on the show prior, a good fight night card, a good Apex card answers questions. And my question for Jonathan Pierce is, we know he's good, we know he's skilled, but can he deal with danger? Can he deal with somebody who's dangerous? And while he was really good the whole time, the answer was no, that he has like some issues with when somebody threatens him. And Brito, I mean, I think he's constantly going to be one of those people who we handicap as being not as good as the person he fights, but sometimes that doesn't matter, you know, kind of in the Derek Lewis, you know, kin that just like, is he better here? No. Is he better here? No, but he's dangerous. And as a result, he's always kind of a live dog. I want to pose this question to you before we stop talking about this fight. Worst trash talk mistake of all time? worst
sorry,
UFC
say it
trash
again.
Talk? Was it
oh,
the
yeah,
worst?
That was bad, eh?
Yeah. I mean, like, you tell a guy to stand up and do something and he stands up and ninja jumps you. Yeah, it doesn't get any worse than that.
No, it's, verbally, it's probably the worst. The guys who invite the fighters to hit him and then get knocked out are also enjoyable. Or Anderson Silva clowning and then getting knocked up by Chris Weidman. But yeah, in terms of verbal taunts, yeah, that did it. Did this really teach us anything about Brito? Like, are we more high?
He's dangerous.
Yeah, he's dangerous. We knew that, though. That's the thing. Like, he kind of, it's not like he dominated the fight. He kind of saved the fight saved himself in that fight. So yeah, I don't know if I feel any better about him going forward at all. Like, I was in on him obviously to begin with here, and he's on an amazing run, but yeah, I'm not sure if this really showed us that he's a better fighter than we thought he was.
No, I continue to think too that he's going to have trouble with anybody who he can't wrestle. Anytime he doesn't have a wrestling advantage, he's going to be in trouble, but he's dangerous. So, you know, it is what it is, kind
of. Yep. Fun fighter, though. Regardless, he's going to be fun to watch going forward. This guy is fun, too, down at bantamweight. Somehow he's at bantamweight, and he's 6 feet tall. Jose Johnson. I think he's really Jose Johnson, but you either have to be Jose Johnson or Jose Hansen. I think I've gone through this already on a show in the past. And, yeah, Jose Johnson took care of Chad Anheliger, the Canadian. Rear naked choke submission, 449 into the third round. Dominated the fight. He's just a handful at bantamweight. We had him at minus 200.
Yeah, and I said too, you know, we even got a YouTube Reels clip on it if you want to check it out on our YouTube, where I said, like, I think people are forgetting he can wrestle. Because most of the people I heard handicap this outside of, you know, that were giving Ann Heliger a chance, they were like, well, Ann Heliger's got the grappling advantage. He's a black belt or whatever. Jose Johnson just got done grappling Jack Cartwright on Contender Series and did a really good job against him. So I think people sleep on what he's got in the tank for wrestling, and certainly what he's got in the tank for submissions, because not only has he submitted Ann Heliger, now he submitted Mo Miller back in the day too, which is, you know, a good regional submission to have under your belt. And now his striking looks better now that he can see. You know, good things coming for Jose Johnson for sure.
Chad Ann Heliger must have listened to our show, or listened, actually, he probably listened to Top Turtle because you interviewed him and Jose Johnson. He probably heard about him getting his eyes fixed. He's like, all right, I got to do some eye pokes here and fix that. So he almost wrecked Jose Johnson's perfect vision, but luckily he got by unscathed with the eye poke. All right, Dennis Tuilulin, he brought it. He was game, but Christian Leroy Duncan, too much for him. Duncan's looking real good at middleweight as well. I know this wasn't the toughest of challenges, especially on short notice, this guy, but he TKO'd on punches and elbows, 424 into the second round. We had Duncan at minus 400, but still, very nice performance. He's got to keep an eye on at middleweight.
Maybe he is. I don't know that he is. Dennis Tuilulin. Yeah, Dennis Tuilulin makes everybody look like a world beater. So I'm just going to reserve my judgment and say that we should talk about the next fight.
Fine. Can we at least fire Tuilulin?
Yes, I fired him last time. I don't know how he came back.
We haven't fired anyone else yet, so we'll see. Do we have to? You want to move to the next fight for real? Do you know what the next fight is?
I don't remember. Oh, was it the
heavyweight?
No, not the weird.
Oh, heavyweight.
Yeah. I do want to talk about this one. Yeah.
All right, good. Mick Parkin defeated Kyle Machado, 29-28. We had Machado. This is a big, well, it wasn't really sloppy, but it was a heavyweight.
It was sloppy.
It was a slop.
No, it was sloppy.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Sure. Tell us about it.
It was for sure sloppy. I will also say, do you feel, I feel like the scorecards, despite being all in agreement, were wrong. Maybe I was watching a different fight than everybody else was. Maybe I had my rose-colored glasses on. But, like, I thought clearly Machado won the third. I know he won the first. And I gave Park in the second, obviously. But, like, I really do think – and, yeah, if you're looking at – I just pulled up MMA decisions. Yeah. First of all, this gives me a good insight to who was judging the fight. Our girl Adelaide Bird, Chris Lee in on that one, Derek Cleary. So, you know, an all-star crew. But then if you look at the media scores, we've got 8-3 in favor of Machado. Now, four of those are sure dog for Machado. So I'm going to say 4-3 in favor of Machado because we don't count sure dog picks. But, like, it seemed like he did more in that third, or at least he landed the more impactful strike. So it was weird to see him not win it. I thought when I heard every single judge gave it 29-28, it was his. Nevertheless, I will say, despite being sloppy, despite being maybe not a technical brawl like we were hoping it might be, taking a swing at 270 on Cal Machado here in a fight that close, I think was worth it.
Yep, definitely. Speaking of taking swings, Gummy took a swing on this. Not in the official picks, so all you people lost out unless you were in a Discord. Lucas Alexander came in short notice. Lucas Alexander came in short notice and missed weight. So missing weight always, not always, but often makes you lose your fight. And he definitely did that. He was dominating the fight pretty much. And then he got himself, he kind of tripped, or he ended up on the ground. When he popped up, he got knocked out real bad by Jekka Saraji with punches, 131 in the first round. This is what they call a puncher's chance. The man's always going to have a puncher's chance in every fight he's in, even when he's getting dominated.
Yeah, and puncher's chances when they're 11-1 are worth it to swing on. Yep. You know, I see a lot of people take, you know, oh, Derek Lewis has got a puncher's chance and he's plus 275 on the KO. Plus 1,100 is a real swinger's chance. And hey, that's a good one. I don't think we walk away from this realizing that, like, Jekka Saraji is good. I don't think we walk away from this being like Lucas Alexander is bad. We might question his fight IQ maybe a little bit more, but, like, he's a guy who went toe to toe with Steven Peterson and outboxed him. So, like, we know there's more in there from Lucas Alexander. And I don't, I'm not sold on Jekka Sarregi. I'm a fan now. For the rest of my life, I'll be a fan.
Definitely. Yeah. We haven't learned if he's actually good, as we like to say. We don't know if this lady's actually good as well. One of our favorites, women's bantamweight, Eileen Perez, Fiona Perez. Eileen Nurmagomedov, unanimous decision, 29-27, which is a silly scorecard. 29-28, 29-28 over Lucy Putilova. If you gave Perez a 10-8, you should have gave Putilova a 10-8 as well. But anyhow, Eileen Perez came through, and then she twerked in front of her little kid in the crowd.
Yeah, I saw some people having a big problem with her celebration, and I'm like,
she's
delightful. Do you realize what we've got going on in MMA? Like, she's probably the least of our concerns. There's far worse post-fight celebrations than what she did. That being said, maybe I am underestimating her because of, you know, like some of the performances she's had, or maybe because she beat up on Ashley Evans-Smith and then ran her mouth, or because she, you know, before her UFC debut was talking about being the greatest featherweight on the planet and needing to fight Amanda Nunes before she retires. Maybe all of that just turned me off of her, but I still don't feel like she's like, I mean, I guess I would pick her if she was fighting Lucy Putilova again. Maybe I need to be lower on Putilova, but like, I don't think there's a lot of bantamweights I would pick her over. And I don't, again, I don't know if I'm just being a hater because of the smack talk or not what, but yeah, I'm still not sold on Aileen.
Don't worry about picking her over Lucy Putilova, because Lucy Putilova will not be in the UFC any longer. That's my prediction. 3-7, she's gone. This fight, I didn't realize it got overturned until after the fact, Gumby. I thought this was a big fat L for us.
Watch it.
Exactly, because I don't watch the afterbirth of each fight. But yeah, this I don't really agree with it. But anyhow, Trey Ogden submitted Nicholas Mota, but then they decided it was no contest, premature stoppage, 3-11 in the third round. What did Trey Ogden do wrong here, Gumby? He was dominating the fight. He would have won the fight. He submitted the guy, and now they're like, no, you got a no contest. He should have just laid on top of him and not tried to submit him, I guess, and he would have won the fight and got his double payout.
I don't know. I hope the UFC took care of him. Really much to say here other than we got saved. Like, this is a good beat for us Nicholas Mota guys. I mean, maybe the only takeaway is I think I talked about how I didn't really trust Trey Ogden now that he's like a full-time coach. And it doesn't seem to have, you know, like, he doesn't seem to have lost the step. In fact, he might be a little sharper. So, I mean, his skill set's fairly obvious in what he wants to get done. But it's good enough that it's beaten guys. So, or no contesting guys dominantly.
What do you think of the stoppage? The ref asked him multiple times. It's the same thing happens with striking. If he was eating punches and he didn't reply to the ref or move or whatever, they would have stopped the fight. So he stopped the fight. He didn't move. He looked like he was dead. Stopped the fight.
It's the same thing I said with the Edgar Cherise versus Daniel Lacerda fight. Is like, we have to leave this to the judges. If the guy doesn't respond and you call it and he comes too quickly or he was never out or whatever, you have to trust the fact that he didn't respond. You're like, there's been times people have been punched and we stopped the fight. And we go, that was probably a touch early. And even the ref admits it was a touch early. We don't overturn it. So I think we got to stop overturning ones where the guy doesn't appear to be intelligently defending himself anymore, because that's what the rule book reads. And at that point, Nicholas Mota did not look to be intelligently defending anymore. Was he unconscious? No, turns out he wasn't. But if you ask him and he doesn't respond and he's clearly not doing anything, I think these things ought to stand. Like, I think Trey Ogden should have walked away here with a submission victory. I thought the same thing about Edgar Cherise, you know, a month ago.
Yeah, and then there's times where they don't overturn things, too. Like, there's no rhyme or reason, as per usual. Maybe it's because they're in the Apex and they heard the color commentators who hate all refs yelling about the ref having a horrible stoppage. So,
Dom Cruise, baby.
Yep. Yep, it's almost like he thinks like he was wronged in a fight, and now he's never going to let it go. All right, the opener, Rafael Estevam looked fantastic. Came in quite overweight, 128. So that is an issue. Other than that, He dominated Charles Johnson, stole his energy from him, 29-28, until we got to the third round and he got himself tired. So maybe there was issues here. He came in overweight. Perhaps there was an injury coming into this, or he couldn't train his cardio properly because, he was gassed up at the end of the fight. And like I said, he came in overweight. So hopefully this isn't an issue for him going forward, because he looks like he could make some noise at flyweight. Just an incredible pressure wrestling and grappling.
It could have been the 22 takedowns he shot. he shot 22 takedowns in this fight. So maybe it was that. But I will say, he's got a lot of promise, but he's also got a skill set that was perfect for beating Charles Johnson, right? We talked about Charles Johnson just not having the wrestling defense that he needs to. And, you put him up against a guy who loves to wrestle. So I'm not sure that Estevam is a future challenger, a future top 15 guy, but you put him up against a guy who he had a clear path to victory.
Yep. All right. For bonuses, no fight of the night, performance of the nights, Brendan Allen, Amanda Hibas, Joe Anderson, Bree 2, and Yaka Saraji. They all got 50K extra. As for us, I went 7-6, so not horrible. I lost $159. Gumby went 8-5, lost $66. So Gumby increases his slight lead over me for the year. I'm at 60% on my picks. Gumby's at 57%, but he's only down 4.5% of his money. I am down 5.5%. As for our special plays, Gumby hit his lock, Estevam. He lost Putulova as a dog. He hit Matthews and Morales over 1.5 rounds. So a nice showing for him there. I pushed on Mota as my lock. I lost in Levitt as my dog. I lost in Craig as my prop. So yeah, having some problems with my fancy picks. So, and then Hungry Man Jong, they both missed. Craig Moneyline, Machado Moneyline, boo.
One of those should have hit.
Yeah, they should have. No UFC this week. The United States is doing something called Thanksgiving, but we have UFC again on the 2nd of December in the Moody Center, Austin, Texas. So it's going to be a good fight night. It's not going to be a fight night with set up for the Apex. Actually, last night's fight card was pretty good, but this one's a good fight card. Darius Sarukian, Hooker and Green, Font Figueiredo, Brady Gastelum. I was just going to stop when the fight stopped being good. I guess I can stop there. There's other obviously good fights, but that's a pretty solid top four for a fight night.
Yeah, I love Darius versus Sarukian. It's also nice to see Sarukian being given a shot to crack that top five. And you mentioned that Hooker Bobby Green fight's probably going to be straight crazy. You said you could have, you stopped at the when it stops being good. Khalil Roundtree versus Azamat Mirzakhanov's a sick fight on that card.
Yep.
Dracar Klose versus Joe Selecki's fun. Former champion Misha Tate is on this fight card. She's fighting on the prelims, which is nuts. I always love Clay Guida. We're going to get to see Clay Guida again. This one's going to be a good one. There's lots of, on these non-pay-per-view events, you look for questions to be answered or fun-ass fights, and I think you get both of them on this one.
It should be a good one, but we got a couple weeks for that. So this coming week, we're not going anywhere. We have regional MMA to cover for you. Cage Warriors on tomorrow's episode, and then we got back-to-back PFL events because they're putting on their not events, but episodes. They're putting on their biggest event of the year, their championship. So we're going to do prelims because their prelims is pretty stacked too for PFL, and then we're going to do their main card on Thursday. So it's Wednesday and Thursday's episodes. Until then, we'll be in the Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. On Twitter, we're at SGP and MMA, at Gumby Vreeland, and at Jeff Fox Writer. I'm that on Instagram as well. I told you about my Substack, moneymma.substack.com. Get in there. And Gumby's got a Top Turtle MMA podcast you should listen to where he interviews people. How did your people do last night? They went, well, two of them fought each other, and then who else did you have?
Cal Machado did not look all that promising.
No. So Gumby went 1-2 with his interviews last week. Do you know who's on it this week, or are we going to leave that in the air?
I do. I got a couple of guys from Cage Warriors on here this week. I'm talking to a pair of guys from the Netherlands, Orlando Prinz, who's going to be fighting on Cage Warriors come. That's definitely cards on Saturday. And Dan Deuce.
we're going to talk about him as well tomorrow. So make sure you listen tomorrow. Cage Warriors 164, we will cover. Obviously, sportsgamblingpodcast.com is the place to be. Go there for all good things in the sports gambling world, including Gumby and my writing on various sports. And make sure you get into our Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord, the Patreon, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. Help us crush corporate gambling. Get in the Discord too, as well, obviously. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. It will be me. What's my name going to be? What was the best nickname last night that I want to go with? I'll be all in. I'll be all in, Jeff Fox, tomorrow. And I'm going to bring along Fiona Vreeland with me as well. And we'll talk to you then. Bye.